Right now it's 8:12 on the ticket, Thursday morning with the Musers. This topic came up a few days ago. I don't know how we stumbled into this topic, but I thought it would make a good longer segment. The topic of teachers who had it out for us. Because when the topic came up, I immediately thought of one teacher in particular. I've had a couple that I felt like had it out for me. One in particular that I'll tell you the story of. And we had a bunch of people chiming in, people who work here at the station, P1, saying, oh yeah, I had a teacher that had it out for me. It's a really weird thing when a teacher zeroes in on a kid for whatever reason. I mean, it could be a million different reasons. You just looked crossways at them one day, or you said something, or they just don't like your family. I don't know why, but people seem to have a lot of stories like this.
Do you think teachers slot the students like we've talked about through the years with athletes? Oh, I've slotted him because this is how he started off.
And yes.
You get off to that start in the semester. Maybe it's a comment you made the first day of class or something you did. And then, yeah, like I'm sure Gordo made some sort of funny noise that first day, and that teacher immediately had him slotted.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's going to be trouble.
One of my stories is that exactly, and I got slotted by my professors at North Texas. He was a history professor. I can't remember his name. Couldn't remember it for $1 million right now. But I remember what he looked like. He was an older guy. And the first day, I came in wearing an OU shirt. And he came up to me and told me he was a Kansas fan.
Uh-oh.
And he reminded me of the 74 upset in Norman when Kansas ended OU's win streak. And he was, like, really into that, oddly so. And I was like, okay. Well, this is 1984, the fall of 84, and guess what happens that fall? Kansas beats OU again.
Oh,
and he had the biggest smile when I walked in that Tuesday after that Kansas-OU game.
And you slapped it off his face.
And I slapped it off his face. But he slotted me because I was an OU fan, and he was really hard on me that semester.
Yeah, sometimes all the take. The article of clothing, and all of a sudden, or maybe just in general how you dress. Or,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if we revisited some of these, especially from like elementary school. Was it as much us slotting them too? You know, like I don't know, with how you behaved or just how you acted towards them. Like I thought of mine was, I told y'all the other day, was Mrs. Cobb in third grade, who I found out is deceased. She's been gone now for 8 years, and she has family here in Texas.
But she was still alive when she was teaching you, right?
She was, yes. Yes, she was. But you kind of feel bad going about it. Oh, yeah, she was. But she was just, I won't say mean, but okay. She just didn't.
Her family's listening right now. So.
I know. And she ran several awards and later became a principal, I read. So she must have been a really good teacher.
So she fooled a lot of people.
But part of it was moving on to third grade, and the warm and fuzzies were over from kindergarten, first, and second grade. And now you had, you know, a few more rules. You had a few more requirements. And I don't think she had me slotted as much as she just pretty much had everybody slotted. And she was just that kind of teacher that was not personable, and you feared her. There's just a fear. But I think she did have me slotted because I was not a good student. I wasn't disruptive. I got good citizenship grades. But it was like when I ask a question, I just always felt like it was the dumbest question she'd ever heard and didn't have time for.
She was real put out.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'll just sit here and I'll take the L.
Well, the teacher that had it out for me, the one that came to mind when this topic came up, was from 7th grade, St. Charles Grade School in Oklahoma City, Mr. Carroll.
Hang on.
Mr. Carroll looked like John Candy. Dark hair, mustache, John Candy.
Awesome.
And he was our religion teacher. And back then, like, our 8th grade teacher was Mr. Mayer, and his specialty was history and science, I think. And Mr. Carroll was 7th grade, and his specialty was religion. And Mrs. Booth was 6th grade, and her specialty was math. So you switched rooms, you know. When the bell sounded, you went to the 8th grade room for history with Mr. Mayer. And then the bell sounded, you went to the 6th grade room. So we moved around. If you were an upperclassman, it was first through eighth grade, so the fifth through eighth graders moved around. The first through fourth stayed in their homeroom. But Mr. Carroll was our homeroom teacher, seventh grade teacher. Looked like John Candy. I never had a problem with teachers growing up. All my teachers liked me and I liked them and never had an issue with any teacher. But for some reason, Mr. Carroll hated me.
Yes, yes. He's so genius.
I couldn't find any evidence of him still being alive, so I don't know what's happened to him. If he's alive, he's...
He looked like John Candy, then there's a chance that he's...
I don't know what I ever did to him, but he hated me. And it started to build because I noticed at first, whenever he would say, okay, does anybody know the answer to this? And I would raise my hand. He never called on me.
He would wait for someone else to raise their hand and then call them.
He never called on me, I noticed, when I knew the answer. But he would call on me all the time when I didn't raise my hand, when he knew I didn't know the answer.
Yes!
And I started keeping score of this. And I was like, I'd come home and I'd, you know, tell my parents, it's really weird. I got this teacher that when I know the answer, he won't let me share it. But
oh, you're imagining that, Greg.
Right. Because back then, the parents always sided with
always
the teacher.
Always sided with the teacher, yeah.
He would always keep me at recess. Like when bell sounded 10:15 for recess and we would go out, he would say, Craig, I need you to go clean the erasers or something. And I'm like, how come it's always me? It was never anybody else held behind, but he would keep me from recess, and that always ticked me off. Just little things like that that kept adding up and adding up. And then I can't remember what the traumatic event was. I guess I've compartmentalized it to where I don't have to remember it. But I was done with him. And so I went home and I decided I'm not going to school the next day.
That'll teach him.
Yeah.
That'll teach him. So the next morning I come down for breakfast and I inform my parents I'm not going to school. And my dad says, no, you're going to school. And I said, no, I'm not. And so I went out into the backyard and he chased me and we had this big evergreen tree and he chased me around the tree like 10 times before he gave up.
And so did you just have to set up camp out there in the backyard?
Do you know what my parents did? Because my mom also went to work.
Threw some food pellets out there for you. And
they locked
the door.
Me out.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Teach you a lesson.
They locked me in the backyard.
Yeah. Finally, they did what needed to be done.
Now, my mom, a couple hours later, showed some mercy and came home and unlocked the door and told me to just stay inside.
I can't imagine that today.
No, I can't either.
That your parents left for their respective jobs.
Took my sister to school.
And left you in the backyard locked out of the
family
house.
Dog out in the backyard.
To teach me a lesson. So my mom
and had you grown feral by the time they returned back at lunch?
No, but I do remember thinking, if I had known I was going to be locked out, I would have brought my mitt and my tennis ball and some stuff to do. I didn't have anything
to do. Necessary supplies. Yeah.
I just remember walking around the backyard with nothing to do.
What a beating.
But you kind of won. You didn't go to school.
Right. So my mom comes home a couple hours later, lets me in, and says, okay, you know, we're going to talk about this when we get home. Well, when they got home, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock that night, the principal, Dr. Arrico, called the house wanting to know where, I guess they had called them during the day, but called the house wanting to talk to me. So I got on the phone and he said, what's going on? Why didn't you come to school today? And I told him, Mr. Carroll has
John
it out
Candy
for me.
John Candy hates me.
John Candy hates me. And, you know, I told him whatever my case was, and he said, okay, I'll talk to Mr. Carroll about it, or the three of us will sit down together tomorrow. So I went to school the next day, and every day before school started, we all got in line by grade, so there were 8 lines, and we would stand outside. The teachers were all up on the steps, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer, and then we would file in. 8th graders first, then 7th graders into your homeroom. From the moment I arrived to the moment I got inside to my desk, Mr. Carroll never stopped staring at me.
God!
Yeah, the evil stare.
It was the single most uncomfortable 10 minutes of my life. He was giving me this death stare.
Just stare back like, hey,
no.
Oh, no.
What's up? I stared at my shoes, yeah. And every time I looked up, he was still staring at me. It was awful. But you know what? From that day on, he treated me more fairly.
He didn't mess with you.
He didn't mess with me. He gave me the death stare for 10 minutes, and then after that, treated me just like everybody else.
You know, that's the thing. Maybe he didn't even realize he was doing it.
He knew.
He knew it. He was pissed that he got called on it.
Gosh. And I don't remember. I don't think we ever had a sit down with the principal. I think the principal said something to him.
That's all it took.
And that's all it took, and then we just went on with it. But, and that was, I'm pretty sure that was in the springtime, so I may have only had another month with him or 2 months, and I made it through somehow, and, but man, he probably, until the day he died, hated me.
No, he may have felt bad that, God, I'm sorry he felt that way. I really didn't feel that way
towards
him.
Maybe it gave him a moment of reflection, and he thought, you know, I'm not handling this teaching thing correctly, and he changed his ways.
Did you guys ever have it that bad with a teacher?
No, not that bad.
Yes,
but yeah, that dude's who you need to talk to.
Yeah, I had a lot of teachers that hated me because we would battle for control of the class. You know, there would be either, and so it was like as soon as I'd move into a class, it was a battle of the alphas. Is the teacher going to win or am I going to win? And so we'd set up battle. But then there were other teachers who would get the quick lay of the land as to what a discipline problem I could be. And they, I think, were smart in that they would kind of corral me to being on their side.
They empowered you.
Yeah, well, they kind of liked me. Mm-hmm. And I did have several, many teachers who, for some reason, for whatever reason, ended up really liking me. And so I would be much more cooperative in their class, of course, because they kind of, they liked me and gave me a creative outlet and...
You needed the Board of Education. You didn't go to school where they gave paddling, did you?
No, paddling had ended, I think, right when I had started. Like, it had ended, I think, in high school a few years before.
Okay.
Boy, I went to a school where they paddled,
which
but
I managed to.
I avoided the paddle my whole year.
It's crazy to me that they used to paddle kids in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. We feared it. Good God, we feared it.
I don't think you would have lasted long in Llano, Texas.
Or St. Charles.
They believed in the paddle.
Oh,
in those locations.
Oh, yes. They would have showed you the first day who was the alpha.
And they would, in first grade, they would paddle kids in the bathroom that was adjacent to the schoolroom.
Yeah,
we could hear the torture.
The screams.
Yeah. Or just down the hallway, and they'd go get another teacher to witness it. And she would witness.
Dang.
And these boards were big, too.
Yeah.
Running schools like Gitmo there. I did have teachers. I did have a teacher in elementary school that had it out for me, I think, long before I was the big discipline problem I would blossom into.
Mm-hmm.
And that one really frustrated me because she just did not like me. It was much like your case, Craig. I couldn't make sense of why this person didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I wasn't very disruptive in her class, but she just didn't like me. And I want to say that one, I wish my parents were still alive so I got to ask them this, but it seemed like it had something to do with my dad being a preacher or something. Mm. There was some kind of undercurrent there.
Yeah, a lot of times it traces to something the kid has no idea of
or right.
can't really fully comprehend with their kid brain.
But then in high school, another one that kind of drove me a little bit nuts was we had one woman, and I feel bad about this because she was a sweet woman. In looking back at this, but she was had drawn the short straw. Is it long straw or short straw?
Short straw is a bad one,
right? So she had to be the teacher of the in-school suspension crowd.
Terrible gig.
So we had this little, it was either a small room or a large broom closet that they would send the kids who got in-school suspension. They would be pulled out of the regular class, and, you know, you'd get a sentence of, like, 3 days of in-school suspension.
Mm-hmm.
ISS, as they called it.
And you tried to recreate Breakfast Club every day.
Well, I would get sent to this, and a lot of these were lifers in-school suspension. I mean, these were hardened criminals of the school. But I would get sent there, too, a few times a year after I'd ticked off a teacher or gotten in trouble walking around the halls with my pants down, something like that. And Miss Coleman was the woman who ran in school suspension, and she hated me. She couldn't stand me. For whatever reason, I got under her skin more than anybody else in that class. Yeah. And, like, some of these guys that were in school suspension with me were in there for, like, knifing another student. And they would be disruptive to Miss Coleman, but she would never really get excessively angry with them.
Uh-huh.
I could set her off like you wouldn't believe. She got so sick of me.
That's not a surprise.
And I guess it was because I waged a more subtle psychological warfare. Yes,
I could see that.
She could handle the direct violence of them.
Right.
But not the deep psychological long game that I was playing with her. And she would kick me out of there. Like, I there was a dude who got in trouble for throwing her phone. She had a phone on her desk. It was like an emergency hotline that she could pick up and summon security at any moment.
Prisoner uprising.
Yeah, and one of the dudes in there threw it out the window, and she got onto him for it, and they pulled it back up by the cord because it was a second floor room. Pulled it up by the cord out of the courtyard and put it back on her desk, you know. He did that and stayed in there. I did the one joke about that book and got thrown out of there that time. That was the science fiction book that was written by a man named John Moorcock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody was passing around laughing at it and everything, and it ended up in my hands, and she called out, "Gordon, bring that book up here right now." And I went up to her desk and held the book at waist level and handed it to her as she's sitting down there. I said, "All right, Miss Coleman."
Yes.
And I used the author's name. I said, "If you want more cock, I'll give you."
And you wonder why she had it out for you.
So where do you go when you get thrown out of
ISS? Okay, this is the stupidest thing ever, Giorgio. This is the system. You get thrown out of ISS, and you know what you have to do?
Go home?
Return to class the next day. They kick you out of in-school suspension back into regular class. And so I just gamed that system. I was like a day trader on that system. I'm like, hey, this is a great spread here. All I have to do is get kicked out of in-school suspension,
sure, no
and then I'm back in class.
All right, before we break, I want to make sure we get our special guest on, because when this topic came up during Crosstalk, he said that he had a story for sure about a teacher that had it out for him. Joining us from the Normandy invasion, the great Donovan.
Whoa.
Hi, Donnie.
Non-disclosure.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good. So you had a teacher that had it out for you too, huh?
Yeah, it was a media law class down in Commerce. And I wasn't a class cut up like Gordon. And Gordon, that's the greatest thing in the world, that last story. I love that. I wasn't a cut up. I was just trying to make my way because I knew the class was going to be difficult. It was an older white man, and I don't remember his name. I was the only brother in there. So, of course, I'm going to lean towards he didn't like me because of the way I looked. May not have been the case. I don't know. But I studied my ass off for this one test. Seriously, and it was in one of those blue books. And out of 100, he gave me the lowest grade I've ever received in my entire life on an essay test. Out of 100, that one test, he gave me a 12.
Oh, my God.
And I promise
comical
you,
score.
That was not right. It was so bad that I thought I was gonna flunk out of school. I went home like with tears. Like the young meme of the young brother with the tear rolling down his face. That was me. I had to call my mom to talk me off the ledge. But every question, answer to a question I had was wrong. Every single one of them. And he would tell the class, well, see, you don't need to be like Mr. Lewis. You need to do it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Really?
Dang.
I don't know what I did to him. But from day one, he hated me. I made a D in the class, and I celebrated like I made an A. Like, I didn't have to take it again. He was the
only that's quite a comeback
contest.
From the 12. Yeah.
Dude, I made a D, and I'm seriously, we went out drinking the night because I was like, look, I don't have to take it again. That's all I care about. D's get degrees. That was our motto.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I don't know. He was old when I was in school, and I've been out of school for a while, so I'm pretty sure he's teaching media law to Coco right now.
Oh, no.
So you got the last laugh.
Yeah, he's not in the sky right now. He's teaching it to Coco. It was terrible. It was the worst semester of my college life, hands down. I've never been that stressed about one class.
You know, like, it's horrible that teachers do that, single out kids. They're human, though, right? And I guess at some point someone rubs them the wrong way. We expect that they should be above all of this. But there's something that about someone that irritates all of us at some point in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're exposed to so many kids, at some point they're just going to have it out for a few.
Yeah, and I bet you the teachers have a different story, too. You know, we have a lot of P1 teachers. I'd love to hear their side of the story as to why they dislike certain kids. Or even if they do.
And sometimes they probably don't even realize it, that the kid just feels like they're being picked on.
He put all the test grades on the board, and he circled the 12 like four times. So everyone was like,
oh, and we have a new record.
The same thing, because I studied. I'm like, who got the 12? And I opened my blue book and just turned it upside down. Like, uh-oh. Just kind of looked around. Like, why would you highlight the 12? Come on.
12.
Funny. All right, Donnie, thanks for sharing.
All right, boys. Talk to you in an hour.
Okay, stay hard. That's the Great Donovan, Normandy Invasion, coming up here in about an hour and a half, 10 to noon every day on The Ticket. All right, that's teachers who had it out for us. 8:33 on The Ticket. We're going to continue this topic with one of the teachers that we have on the show from time to time, and we'll discuss the psychology of why a teacher would have it out for a student with Dr. Carlton Maxwell next.